Father, we're so grateful to be in your house with your people, and we're just loving the opportunity to open your word one more time and share your truth. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. You win. Don, did you know that I was going to be preaching from Isaiah this morning?
I gathered that because that's where the bookmark was.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I mean, you grabbed Isaiah for the reading, and I thought maybe, you know, God was giving you a message too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I just wanted to share. I mean, I haven't taught from the Old Testament for a little while. We've been doing a lot of Gospels and been doing epistles in the New Testament, but the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament are one. They are the same God. They are truly a unity. When we talked about "Hear, O Israel, listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one," the Shema, we know that we worship the one true God. It's interesting that Creator God chose to become a man and come down and redeem us and cover our sins, knowing how bent and broken we are. He knew that we would need a way to be made straight, to be made right. And from the very beginning of time, there was an understanding that God was going to become a man. When Jesus showed up, we know that he is the Messiah, the Savior, the Chosen One, but he was written about hundreds of years prior to that, and in Isaiah, about 700 years before the time of Jesus, Isaiah wrote a lot about, very specifically about Jesus, and it's quite obvious anybody that studied the life of Jesus, studied Isaiah and the other prophets, they know that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise that the Son of David was going to come and rule and reign forever and ever. He didn't do it the way that we would have expected, even as the events were unfolding in New Testament. It wasn't like people would have expected. And the passage I want to cover today, it's in Isaiah 55, if you want to turn in your Supergiant Print Pew Bibles, it's page 1180, but the words will also be up on the screen. And I've titled this message, "The Compassion of the Lord." I love that God is so much different than we are. I think if any one of us were to put ourselves in his shoes, it's like, okay, you're perfect, you have no faults, no issues with anything, you can do anything, you can be everywhere, and then there's these humans that are kind of a thorn in the flesh. They're constantly getting in the way and messing things up and doing things they shouldn't be doing, and we humans have a way of thinking that we've got it all figured out and we know what's right and we know what's going to work the best. And yet if we were put in charge, this world would fall apart pretty quickly. Because God's not just the creator, he's the sustainer. And he holds all things together. I think any one of us, if we'd been given the authority and power that God has, we would have looked at humankind and said, yeah, don't let Noah get on the boat. Because man was deceitfully wicked and evil in every way. Everything, every thought, every action, they just continue to get worse and worse. And yet God continually allowed a remnant to remain so that his chosen one could come. When David was given the promise that from your offspring will come a Savior, a Messiah, people waited and waited and waited for that many hundreds of years. God's timeline is not the same as what we would do. I think, again, if we look at the way the world's going right now, had somebody tell me this morning that they didn't believe that this world would be able to survive another 15 years with the rate things are going. This is not someone that is a follower of God or a believer, but someone that is aware of what's happening in the world. It doesn't take much to say, Lord, why are you so patient? Why are you so compassionate? Why are you so full of grace and mercy? We get so many more blessings than we ever could earn or deserve. And God's compassionate and good that way. When I look in the book of Isaiah, I see the Savior Jesus, the suffering Savior, the one that came and laid his life down and died. I don't know that Isaiah even understood all of the things that he was writing as Holy Spirit inspired him to write Holy Scripture. He was giving prophecy of things that some of them were going to be fulfilled in the near term, but many of them didn't get fulfilled again until much later. And there may still be some things in Isaiah that we don't fully understand that will be fulfilled in future days. And I look throughout all the Scripture, and every bit of it is about Jesus. And his love and his compassion is a theme that just won't go away. And so as we jump into this passage, it's just 13 short verses today. You there, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. How many of us are thirsty? There's this longing, this desire within us that can't be fulfilled with any normal means. And we try to find all different ways to fulfill it. It's through relationships sometimes, if we just had a better person to hang with. Or sometimes it's location, vacation, vocation. There's so many different ways we try to fulfill this burning need, this desire we have within us to be made whole. And yet the only way that can happen is if we come to Jesus. And he gives us here and throughout all Scripture, he gives us an invitation. Even when you get to the end of Revelation, his invitation is come. And Jesus wants everyone to come to him. If you know the God of the Old Testament, some people think he's an angry God that's full of, you know, hellfire and brimstone, and he's going to be casting judgment on everyone. And yet it's the same God of mercy, the God of grace, the God of compassion that we know through Jesus Christ. If we know Jesus Christ, we know the God of the Old Testament. He is one. They are the same. So his message here, he says, hey, if you're thirsty, come. Come to the waters. Well, later, when we read through New Testament Scripture, Jesus identifies himself as the living water. Isaiah here is saying, come to Jesus. And then you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Wow. It's like, okay, I don't have any resources. I don't have anything that will cause me to be able to attain these things that I want and need. And yet, Holy God is saying, you don't need money. Whatever price there is that's been paid, it's been covered. Just come. And get those things that you want, the wine that brings pleasure, the milk that brings sustenance, all of the things that you want and need. Come, and you don't have to pay for them because they're freely given by God. Man's ways and God's ways are quite different, aren't they? Most of the time, if you're talking on the human level, it's like, I don't have very many resources and I got to be careful to hold on tightly to them and make sure that I don't lose any of them. And when I spend them, I want to spend them on things that will bring me sustenance or pleasure or whatever. And God is saying, hey, you don't need any of that. Just come. It's covered. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? By the way, again, Jesus identifies himself as the bread of life. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in abundance. So the Lord's ways, he says, come, get stuff that you don't have to pay for. You can find delight. You can just incline your ear. Listen, hear me. I'm here for you. Come to me. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Behold, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you will call a nation you do not know, and a nation which does not know you will run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has glorified you. Now Isaiah is writing this specifically to the people of Israel, and he's telling them that because God is glorifying you, God is dwelling within you, God is among you, people are going to be drawn to that. Nations that you don't know are going to come looking for something that you have. And the same can be true as we're the grafted in people of Israel as followers of the way, as followers of Jesus. There's something desirable about a true believer that makes the world and everyone around want to know, how can I have that? I've got this need, I've got this desire, I've got this empty hole in my heart, and how can I have that filled? And it's like you somehow are demonstrating that through your life. Now, Christians that I know are not perfect either. I don't have to look very far. I find a mirror and I realize that Christians are not perfect. And yet, we can glorify God through our lives, through our actions, through our thoughts, through our words. And we can draw others to him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. There's an insinuation here that there's going to come a time where seeking the Lord is going to be too late. It's like, wait, he's done. He's finally completed everything. And Judgment Day is here. I don't know when that day is. I know that God has been way more patient and has lingered much longer in his judgment than any one of us would had we been given his level of authority and responsibility. Prophet Isaiah says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked abandon his way and the unrighteous person his thoughts. I know that a lot of times when we read words like that, we think, okay, that Isaiah is talking about the world. He's talking about the other nations, the Gentiles, those people out there. It's like, no, he's talking to God's chosen people. Each one of us needs to recognize every day when we wake up that we have ways about us that are not God's ways. We have ways that are unrighteous. We have ways where we have abandoned his purpose, his call. And the message from the Lord is, seek him, call to him, and he'll be found. He's not trying to hide from us. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I know that when New Testament was written, there's a disciple that was described as the disciple Jesus loved, John. And he wrote us a nice gospel, but he also wrote some short letters, some epistles. And he says that if we confess our sins, he's going to be faithful. God will be faithful. He'll be just and he's compassionate and he'll forgive us our sins and he's going to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't just forgive us, but he helps us make things clean, straight, right. Our brokenness, our wickedness, our unrighteousness, our bentness can be made right by confessing to God that we need him, that he is God and we are not. And so we turn to the creator, sustainer of all life, and we say to him, I messed up again. I'm probably going to mess up again tomorrow. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your grace. And then Isaiah gives a quote as from God, and he says, for my ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. The Lord has declared that we think differently. If you haven't figured that out, spend some time in Scripture. One of the ways that God thinks that I love is that even when I mess up, he can take bitter, broken, bad parts of my walk, of my life, and he can turn them to good. I've met a lot of people that their worst mistake has become their biggest asset as they recognize that God has changed them and they can go and help others and draw people to him. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Anytime we think we've got it all figured out and we've attained, let's recognize that, yeah, we may have attained compared to a pile of dung. We may have attained compared to an ant or maybe even a monkey. Maybe a dog or a dolphin, but we haven't really attained to much as humans. Much has been accomplished. I love that God has allowed and enabled humans to accomplish great things. But just like when they were all trying to build this Tower of Babel so that they wouldn't be separated, so that they could all stay as one group of people, and God came down and confused their language and sent them their separate ways, because when man starts thinking he's got it all figured out, that's when things fall apart. I think that the new Tower of Babel might be artificial intelligence, where many of us have benefited from AI. We've been able to have some thoughts clarified and things can be helpful. And yet, when people start looking to AI as if AI has all the answers, it doesn't take long to figure out AI only has the answers that it's been given. And our ways are always going to fall short, no matter how much we try to rebuild it and make it faster and better and bigger. And it's like God's ways are different. They're still higher than the highest. Because when Jesus came down and humbled himself and became a man and walked among us, it was the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, that demonstrated that true leadership is washing feet. True leadership is humbling yourself and helping others. As I look out at the congregation today, I see a local congregation. Last week we had a lot of visitors. People just happened to be floating through town. Today, every one of you seems to be someone that's connected to Skycomish. And it's a good thing. And you can be iron sharpening iron, building each other up. God's ways are going to build this church in ways that I could never imagine. In fact, as we ask and imagine things, God says, yep, that's okay, but guess what? I can do even better than that. And I know that he will. I trust that he will. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Then he gives an example. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it produce and sprout and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the purpose for which I sent it. So even when we don't see it, he's working, just like the song says. And we know that God is at work among us, in us, through us, around us. I know that there's individuals in this community that I've had conversations with that God is touching and he's wooing them and saying, come. And don't just come to church. That's why anybody can come to church. Come to Jesus. Come to him. If you're weak or weary, if your heart has desires that can't be fulfilled, come to Jesus. And he's so compassionate and he's abundantly willing to forgive. And he even says he will forget things. He's going to, cast things into the deepest sea. He's going to separate us from our sin as far as the east is from the west. We can trust that God will do the work that his word has been sent to accomplish. The word of God has been tested and tried, and it's true and it's faithful and it's good. And it will bring things to fruition. The next thing it says, you will go out with joy and be led in peace. The mountains and the hills will break into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, the juniper will come up. By the way, where'd that thorn bush come from? It's part of the curse. Because of our sin and our brokenness, God's made our toil a little bit harder. We were always designed to work. Adam and Eve were given the opportunity to tend a garden. And gardening could be a beautiful thing. It's a lot more beautiful if there's no thorns, there's no weeds, there's no extra problems. Our sin has brought so much to the earth that still needs fixed and made right. Instead of the stinging nettle, the myrtle will come up, and it will be a memorial to the Lord, an everlasting sign, which will not be eliminated. God is such a good God. He gives freely. He has compassion. He has love for each of us. He even gives us the ability to love one another. I know there's times where I'm not lovable. And Kathy has endured many, many years of unlovable Tony. And yet, God makes all things right. He cures things that are sick. He makes straight things that are crooked. He fixes things that are broken. He heals things that are wounded. And we know that God wants to draw each of you to him. When it says his ways are not our ways, I don't think most of us would choose broken humans to spread the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. I don't think most of us would think, hey, I've got an idea. There's all these crazy, wicked, evil sinners. Let's have them build a church. Let's have them spread the gospel, the good news, the word that they can be forgiven. And yet God's ways are perfect. Most of us would mess things up by trying to make them good. Some of my favorite musical artists are ones that not everyone enjoys. Raspy voices. Things that demonstrate a little bit of flaws and brokenness. And going back to some of the folk songs, the folk singers that would sing of experiences in life that weren't always perfect. And yet when we get to the end of the story, like David's Psalms, it's like, wow, things are really awful, God, but I can trust you. And even as we walk through this earth, I don't know where this earth that we live in is going to be in 15 years. With whatever trajectory it has, it seems like things can move quickly in both directions. And if that pendulum swings and God sees that there's people turning to him, I know that his level of compassion is so much greater than mine. And he will tarry even longer, as long as there's others that are willing to come to him, and he will know who those people are and when the last one to be saved will turn to him. We can trust that God will fulfill his purpose. As Kathy and I move on, this is a little community congregation that's going to continue to love the people and preach the word. It's going to happen in different ways. It's going to happen in ways that at this point are unforeseen. And yet I know that God will use this congregation, he will use this community, he will use his word to build his kingdom. And I'm looking forward to the good reports, and maybe we'll even come back and visit and see what wonderful things God has done in this place. Thank you, Jesus.